I don't remember.
It wasn't that long ago that for many of us, Donald Trump for president seemed kind of a funny thing to say. In recent weeks, things have definitely stopped being funny. With scattershot attacks on almost every minority group in America, with wild-eyed claims that seem to do nothing but frustrate the news media and excite his base, the new Teflon Don is dominating the Republican race for the White House and drowning out all the other candidates, Democratic or Republican. Although I much prefer to have a chuckle or two at the state of our politics with my friend Greg LaBelle, assistant professor of political management at George Washington University, I also find it comforting to be with Greg when things aren't so funny. And so I'm grateful to be able to welcome him back to State of Belief Radio today, hopefully to help sort out the unsortable. Greg, welcome back.
It's nice to be here, Welton.
I want you to trust me enough to play a game with me here on the first question. try to remember the beginning of this whole presidential campaign.
Okay.
All right, we're right at the beginning. I say the words Donald Trump. What do you think immediately?
Ha, 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 ha. I think like most of America, we thought you've got to be kidding me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, today.
Yeah.
In the campaign.
Yep.
I say the words Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
How is it different?
It couldn't be more different. The Republican Senatorial Committee released an internal document that found its way out, as they often do, that begins to set up their Senate campaigns for dealing with a Trump nomination. This has become possible. It still feels funny to say, but people are taking this suddenly very seriously, and both Republicans and Democrats are preparing for this possibility.
So when did you get serious about it?
Probably in the past week. And I think part of it is denial. I think we look at this situation and we look about what it says about where this country is. And it's a little bit disconcerting. We just keep waiting for those numbers to drop, and they don't drop. So there's something going on that we have to be serious about, that we have to look at. Even if Trump doesn't end up the nominee, what brought him this far is something that we have to seriously consider in this country, what the public attitude is that gets us here.
Greg, Trump has blatantly attacked Mexicans and other immigrants. He has attacked veterans. He has attacked African Americans and Muslims and the disabled. And none of it seems to hurt him. I have two questions for you, or maybe more accurately, I want to ask you the following question twice.
Okay.
You've spent a lifetime in campaign politics. So first, I want to know how you would analyze this phenomenon through conventional Beltway wisdom. And then second, is there a brand new set of rules? And if so, are you able to wrap your head around that set of rules?
Well, the first question can't be answered in the context of normal, regular, inside the Beltway rules. I think that those simply don't apply, certainly to this candidacy. There are a couple of factors that may be at play, three theories, I should say, about what's going on. One is that this is just very entertaining. People are entertained by this guy. Mm-hmm. The other is that people haven't really started to take this seriously yet. And the third is that there are people who absolutely think that Donald Trump should be president. I suspect that all three are at play. The closest we can get to a traditional approach to this is that here we are the week after Thanksgiving. We're heading headlong into Christmas and New Year's. This is a time when campaigns sort of shut down in the sense that voters kind of shut down. They're moving away from politics. They're focusing on the holidays. So in campaigns that I was – we always sort of dreaded getting to Thanksgiving because we kind of had done all we could do until we get over that hump into the first of the year. But what that means now is that the campaigns are really sort of settling in. The numbers are starting to settle in, and they really won't move much until we get around that corner. This is a little bit different this year because we've got about a month between New Year's and the Iowa caucuses. Mm-hmm. In 08 and 12, that wasn't the case. We had days between the holidays. So the campaigns will have a little bit more time. So we're seeing the folks who are actual, I think, potential challengers to Trump sort of trying to lay the groundwork for what's going to happen after we get through New Year's. I was up in New Hampshire in October. I took my students to New Hampshire as part of a course, and they were all working on campaigns. Some were with Clinton, some were with Sanders. I had one with Trump. We had some with Fiorina and others. And it was interesting watching the Trump campaign close up. They're not doing it the way anybody else does it. And this is sort of Trump's trademark. And
well,
I think
what's different?
He's running almost solely on his name recognition. And other candidates have tried this and failed. But Trump is running on the fact that he's Trump, much like he's run every business that he's ever been involved in. You know, the big Trump name on the front of everything. That's almost what's going on here. Mm-hmm. They're not in New Hampshire doing the basic door-to-door stuff, which is such an essential part of traditional New Hampshire politics. Mm-hmm. They're just not doing it. They're doing big rallies, bringing him in and building crowds and getting people to sign up at these rallies. It's not the way anybody else is doing it up there, Republican or Democrat. And clearly, it seems to be working.
Well, for me, and I know for you too, there's a moral component to all of this. I'm just sick and tired of having this one guy constantly shouting terrible things about my fellow Americans every time I turn on the television.
Yeah.
Even separate from politics, this is just plain wrong.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not limited to Donald Trump. We've seen some of the other Republican candidates pick up some of this language and some of these ideas and run with it, you know, to suggest that we should only let Christians, Syrians in the country, to raise the idea of Muslims carrying identity cards. I mean, then you get into, the things we've heard about women and gays and lesbians and every minority group you can think of. It's appalling. It's disturbing. If it were just Donald Trump, I don't think I'd be as disturbed by it. But we see other candidates. I think it's short-term strategy on some of their parts. They see that this is working, so they figure they've got to try it too. I mean, John Kasich is a pretty reasonable guy. I mean, he's a member of Congress. He's governor of a major state. I would never have, identified him as a crazy. But he's come out with some of these sort of ideas. And I think it's strategic on their part. And it's appalling to me that these folks would let a short-term strategy have that sort of impact on themselves and on the country. We tend to focus on what this means for the nomination and ultimately for the general election. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to start thinking about what this says about our image in the world, because the rest of the world is watching this and hearing this. And I think they're trying to figure out who the hell we've become as
right.
a country.
Trump seems – his audacity seems – to have freed up everybody else to say anything that they think immediately, whether they have really thought it through or not. And then if the media challenges them, they blame the media for the bad rhetoric.
Ben Carson, over and over again.
Okay, so in all of your years, have you seen that strategy work before?
No, it's never worked before. And candidates have tried various components of this strategy, and eventually it catches up with them and it fails. Now, it's still May. We're sort of locked in now. Things aren't going to change much for a few weeks. But once we get to the first of the year, then the question becomes, do the voters in Iowa and New Hampshire and then Nevada and South Carolina begin to really start looking? Is it that voters are just sort of entertained and not really taking this seriously right now? I don't know. I hope so. But I don't know. But there's no question that there's a strain in this country of people who actually believe this stuff. Ben Carson has gotten into trouble now for saying some things that for Carson have been relatively reasonable. His comments about the shooting in Colorado, where he said there's violent rhetoric on both sides. In general, one can sort of nod and say, yeah, that's probably true. And by saying that, he's honked off a lot of his supporters and the religious right, because he's suggested that maybe there's been some intemperate comments made that maybe lead to these kinds of tragedies. There are people who are buying into this.
Greg, have we, the electorate, have we always been vulnerable to this kind of campaigning? Are we revealing some real weaknesses in the democratic process?
Well, I think there's been a strain of this mentality in the electorate for many, many, many years, maybe as long as we've been around. I think what's different is that we have this guy in Donald Trump who seems to be able to articulate it in a way that works, that's believable. And his background, everything that we know about him, whether it's true or not, every part of the bio sort of reinforces his credibility as a spokesperson for this mentality. And I think that's why he's been successful at it.
Greg, things are simply too volatile, so I would never ask you to predict what's going to happen next.
But?
But I would like for you to volunteer to try to predict what's going to happen next.
Well, here's what I will say. Ben Carson has, I think, done himself in. I think Ben Carson has proved that being a surgeon is not enough. His statements on a number of issues have been so patently ridiculous that his numbers are dropping. They're dropping in Iowa, which is where I think he really stood a chance of distinguishing himself, if not winning outright, challenging Donald Trump there. So I think Carson is on the way down. I think what we're going to see now is a grand battle between Rubio and Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. It's starting. I mean, these two guys are going to fight it out. They see themselves as the people who can sort of either do well enough to keep sort of carping at a victorious Trump or actually win outright. I think one of the two of them could potentially win Iowa. If I were putting money on it, I'd put money on Cruz, partly because he's run a very smart race. He's got lots of money. And he's been very strategic in dealing with Trump. Mm-hmm. He has not criticized him very much. So Trump's supporters find him appealing and a nice alternative. So if people start to move away from Trump, I think that's where they go. He's already begun to pick up some of Ben Carson's support. Mm-hmm. So the guy I'm watching now is Ted Cruz, at least in Iowa. In New Hampshire, depending on what happens in Iowa, Trump can come out of Iowa in a close race with Cruz or somebody else and do well in New Hampshire. Cruz will not do well in New Hampshire. He just doesn't fit the profile. New Hampshire is not a strong religious right state. Mm-hmm. The interesting person to watch there, I think, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is Governor Christie. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that Chris Christie would look relatively reasonable in this collection of candidates, but Trump has given him that. So I think Chris Christie has some potential, and the rest of them, I think, are just hanging on for dear life.
Greg LaBelle is Assistant Professor of Political Management at George Washington University, where he is the Director of the Semester in Washington Politics Program. A veteran of several presidential campaigns, Greg has also served, and we should mention this more often, as Director of Public Policy, Director of Political and Field Operations, and Interim Executive Director of Interfaith Alliance. Greg, it is always great to sit down with you. Thank you for once again being with us on State of Belief Radio. We've been through a bunch of these campaigns, and I'm glad we'll be going through another one together.
Thank you, Elton. We'll see how it all plays out.